Father, thank you for this glorious Sunday morning as we think on our Savior, our blessed Redeemer, who paid the price for all of our sins, that if we trusted in him, we could be saved. And thank you for everyone here today that you have gathered in this place. As we worship you, lift your name on high, proclaim the name of Jesus, express our love to him and to you and to the Spirit for all that has been done for us that we deserve none of. We deserve nothing but your judgment, and instead you have showered your love on us and blessings untold. We thank you that we can worship you together, and that we can hear your word proclaimed, and that we can gather around the Lord's table today as we partake of the bread and the cup in remembrance of the body and blood of Jesus, given that day on Calvary's cross to save us. Father, it is a joy to be here today, and we pray that throughout this hour, all that is said and done will bring honor and glory to your name, will please you, and glorify you, bring joy to your heart, lift us to heaven, and draw us closer to one another and to you. And we give you thanks and praise for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Looking at Romans chapter 11. Now, you might notice as we read this scripture and as we have the message today, this is a little bit different than what we usually have. But anyway, this whole section between chapters 9 and 11 has to do primarily with the nation of Israel. And we want to follow the scriptures as closely as we can and seek to understand what God is saying to us about the nation Israel. Because today many people think that God has abandoned Israel. And that is certainly not the truth. As we read the Word of God, we will notice that that is certainly not true. All right, Romans chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not that what the scripture saith of Elias, how he makes intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what says the answer of God to him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David says, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them who are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partake of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them who fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and grafted into... Wait a minute. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed to him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you and praise you for your great plan of salvation. And Lord, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you have called us unto yourself. And through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. And that applies not only to us as Gentiles, but also to the Jews. Even as the Apostle Paul says that he himself is Jewish, and yet he proclaimed the gospel of Christ, and many, many were saved. And Lord, we thank you for the fact that you have not forsaken your ancient people, those whom you called to be your very own. And we pray that everything will continue to work according to plan. Help us, our Father, to yield ourselves to your will, to your purpose, and not to seek to do anything differently. Our Father, we do pray this morning for your grace and love to be upon us, that we might understand more fully your word. Some portions of it are more difficult than others, but we thank you, Lord, that you make it clear to us if we'll only look to you for it. So we pray that you'll be with Bob Kirkner, bless him, and Marilyn, meet their needs. Thank you for answering their prayers and our prayers, and pray that you'll continue to guide and help them. We do pray, our Father, for those who are ill today, that you might touch and strengthen each one of them. We pray for each one who is here today, that we might truly receive a blessing from being in your house and fellowshipping together in Christ. We pray for next week. Our Father, as witness, will be coming to be with us. We just pray that it might be a joyous time for all of us as we think about the words of the music and hear the message that will be brought. We pray that each one of us would be blessed by that. And we ask you to continue to guide us forward, help us in all that we do, that we might be pleasing in your sight. We thank you for our church, our Father, and we do ask you to bless the church. Help us to grow together as individuals, and may we find more others who will come to put their faith in Christ and be a part of this local assembly. We just thank you so much, Lord, for all your love to us, and ask your blessing upon us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I did.
Jesus comes again. Now we'll see that. So
still working in their behalf. So Israel is not totally at fault. He says here, God forbid. Certainly not. By no means. He says, first of all, he gives first the testimony. Who was Saul of Tarsus? He was a Jewish leader, wasn't he? He was a man, he goes through that over in one of his epistles about his whole life before and where he came from. He's from the tribe of Benjamin. And yet we claim him, rightly so, as the great apostle Paul, right? And yet he was a Jewish man. So has God cast away his people? Absolutely not. You think of the 12 apostles, who were they? Huh? They were 12 Jewish men, right? And yet God used them to take the gospel throughout the world. And down through the ages, we still have today many organizations that are dealing primarily in reaching the Jewish people and bringing them to Christ. The Friends of Israel, we have a couple of their magazines on the back table back there, and the Chosen People, and all these other groups that are doing this and reaching people with the gospel. That's what it's all about. And he says here, I am an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. You might say, what do you think? God, back in history there, at the time of Abraham, he said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to raise up these people. You think now he's just forgot about it? Not hardly. And he says, it's still going to happen. You might, fall of Israel is temporary and partial. Paul himself was a Jewish believer. And he goes on to say, what about the time of Elijah? You remember Elijah with King Ahab and Jezebel? Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. So Elijah takes off and goes down as far as he can go. And God encourages him to say, you know, he's quoting here from this. He says, Lord, they've killed your prophets. They've digged down your altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. They're going to kill me, right? I'm the last one. You know? There's nobody else. Here I am, poor me. And yet God answers him, and he says, listen, Elijah, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Huh? 7,000, that's quite a difference. And here we find that God had not forsaken his people, and we see that later he brought them back again, didn't he? It says, and it's by the election of grace, who have a remnant today, a remnant among the Jewish people that are believers in Jesus Christ as their Savior, a remnant. And according to the election of grace, they're saved by grace. How are you saved? By grace, right? And God has seen fit to save whosoever will. And that includes the Jewish people as well as the Gentiles, right? We all are in the same category. We all are saved in the same way. And whatever epoch you might find yourself in, whether it be back in the beginning of the church or even today, God is still working and by his grace and mercy reaching people. He mentioned here in the time of Isaiah, he comes to that. Let's see. Verse 8. According as is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. You remember, Isaiah was called to go to his people. And God told him, he said, you know, they're not going to listen to you. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to go out and start your ministry? God tells you, okay, go out there and preach to these people, but they're not going to listen to what you say. You know, I've given them a spirit of slumber. Here they are, and you can take this any kind of way you want to, but he's speaking here about the dealings that God had with his people. And they came to him in times of need, and then they would just leave when things were going well and worshiping other idols and all this. And God says, no, they're not going to listen. God's given them a spirit of slumber. And then he talks about David. He says, David says in the Psalms, let their table be made a snare and a trap, stumbling block, a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always. Wow. You know, these people, are they doomed? Here we find that it looks bad, doesn't it? And yet, down through the years, through all of the suffering and anguish that they have gone through, God is still dealing with them. And someday, they will be saved. The nation will prosper once again. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit. We find, he says in verse 11, again, have they stumbled that they should fall? Is this the end? Are you going to write them off? Forget about it. I know some I've heard, I read something the other day, some Christian leader said, I don't witness to the Jews. You know, they rejected Christ. That's it. But that's not it, right? No. We all, at some point in our life, probably rejected Christ, right? For a while. And then finally, the Lord got through to us and we accepted him as our Lord and Savior. It's the same thing with the Jewish people. And we have to be willing to reach out to them as well as anyone else. And the nation of Israel especially has a tender spot in the heart of God. And we need to realize that. Okay, he says, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. There's that word again. By no means. Certainly not. But rather, notice what he says here. Through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. You see? Israel was God's chosen people. And then they sinned and they refused to accept Jesus. And so he put them aside as a nation so that he might take the gospel to the Gentiles. And reach out to them. So we can be thankful, in a sense, that all this has happened, right? Because it changes the way we look at it. It says that salvation might come to the Gentiles and that it might provoke Israel to jealousy, you see? That they might want what we've got. When they notice that God is now our God. He's our people. We are his people. And they have been set aside for a while. But not permanently. Keep that in mind. And then we find here the fullness of Israel is going to come in. It says, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? He says, if you've got such a blessing about their falling away, how much better is it going to be when they come back? Huh? You see? And that's what's going to happen. Now, you know, we get impatient, you know. I always think back to poor old Abraham. You remember Abraham and Sarah? God promised them a son. But where was the son? They waited year after year after year after year, wandering here, there, and yonder. No son, right? But then at the end, it happened exactly like God said it would. And it's the same thing here. It seems like, you know, we're just going on and on and on. and nothing is happening, but God has his plan and it will be fulfilled. And so, he says, verse 13, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. There it is in black and white. Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. This is his primary job, is reaching the Gentile peoples. He was the first one to go out. All the other disciples were reaching mainly Jewish people up until the day of Pentecost and then on. But Paul, when he was converted, was called to go and be the apostle to the Gentiles. So we can thank God for that. He says, I magnify my office. He was proud of the fact that God had called him to this. And so he's talking here about the fullness of Israel coming back. Paul speaks of the restoration and says it will be a blessing to the whole world when they do come back to him. It'll be like a new life, a resurrection that's going to come to pass. So we see here, and then he goes into this passage about the olive tree. Did you get that? Wow. Israel is the original olive tree, right? But because of their sin, he cut off the branches and he grafted in the Gentiles. So God's working primarily today with Gentile nations of peoples that are willing to receive the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and become the people of God. And yet today, he says also, just like he could cut off the branch, he can graft it back in again. So he says not only is he reaching the Gentiles, but also the Jewish people. And so he's able to do that. And that we, as Gentiles, speaking primarily here, he's writing to the Romans, right? Okay, they're Gentiles. He says, don't think that you are the only ones, you know, and that you can do anything you please, and you know, and God's going to just let it go, you know. No. He says, you have to work seriously with God in this. Now, I'm not talking about salvation necessarily. Salvation's by grace through faith. We know that, I believe, right? But he's talking about the nations and how he can work in such a way to reach people and to help them with their salvation and with their daily life as well. So he's saying here that this olive tree, he can graft in these others, he can bring back the Israelites, and that they can all enjoy the blessings of God. And verse 25 says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. He says, there's something I want you to know. Lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. See, God has his plan. Right now, he's working primarily with the Gentile nations and to fulfill all these things that he's talking about. My note here says, the fullness of the Gentiles is the completion of the purpose of God in this age, the outcalling from among the Gentiles of a people for Christ's name, the church which is his body. It must be distinguished from the times of the Gentiles. So the fullness of Gentiles means the making up of the church, bringing it into through and to its fullness. And when that's over, God is going to return to working primarily with Israel. Okay? I hope that's clear. We find here this about the someday Israel's unbelief will be changed into faith, and the nation will once again be at the center of God's program for the world. Okay? because Jesus is going to come back and rule from Jerusalem over the world. And verse 26, "And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Who is the Deliverer? The Savior, right? The one who came once to save us from our sins is coming back to rule and reign here on the earth and from Jerusalem. The Deliverer is coming out of Zion and taking away ungodliness from Jacob. He's going to establish righteousness. "For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." See, he's going to forgive them, cleanse them. Jesus is going to rule and reign. They're going to accept him. Now, I have a note here about this. Let's see if I can find it right quick. When it says all Israel will be saved, according to this commentary, does not mean that every Jew living at Christ's return will be regenerated. Many of them will not be saved, as seen by the fact that the judgment of Israel to follow soon after the Lord's return will include the removal of Jewish rebels. Following this judgment, God will then remove godlessness and sins from the nation as he establishes his new covenant with regenerate Israel. I hope that's clear. Anyway, we find when it says all Israel, it doesn't mean every person, but it means the entire nation. When Jesus purifies them, when they receive him, and are willing to accept him, then he will establish them there. So anyway, it says, "For this is my covenant," the covenant that God made with them originally. You know, it's a wonderful thing. God keeps his covenants. He keeps his promises. It might seem like a long time. It might seem like it's never going to happen, but it does. So we could take heart, I think. What do you think? Yeah? Who's in charge? God's in charge, right? And we are his people. We look to him. So we should not despair when the enemy is seeming to win, because in the end, God is going to be the victor, right? And we are his people. So we look to him with rejoicing, knowing that he will do all this. So then, I'm going to close out. I'll skip this last part. You can read that. We find Paul rejoicing here at the end. And it says in verse 32, "For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." Huh? We're all in the same boat, so to speak. Huh? Whoever we are, Jew, Gentile, black, white, whatever else there is, he has condemned all of us for our sin, that he might have mercy upon all who will believe in him. Even so, these have also now not believed, that through your mercy they may obtain mercy. I read that. Verse 33. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God." Paul bursts out into a doxology here, rejoicing in the Lord, and thinking of all the wonderful things that he's doing. He's worshiping him. He says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor?" Yeah. Nobody has to tell God what to do. He knows exactly what to do, right? He has it all planned out. And all we have to do is yield ourselves to him. Say, "Yes, Lord, yes. Who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed to him again." No, "For of him and through Him and to Him are all things. God is all in all. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Amen. What do you think about that? That's wonderful. He has mercy and His grace and His love that He expresses for us. He'll have mercy on all who believe in Christ. And He will be all in all for all of His wisdom and knowledge. And may we yield ourselves to Him, walk with Him, and serve Him, and do what He tells us to do. We're going to have communion in just a moment. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, help us to trust You. Help us to put our faith and confidence in You and not to despair, not to be afraid. So often, Lord, we think of so many things going on around us, all of the violence and ungodliness and incompetence and all the rest. But Lord, we thank You to know that You have Your plan for Israel, yes, and for us. Thank You. Thank You so very much. Bless us now as we look to You and as we have the communion with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.